This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Heard during Nolan's update there. Season starts for both Toronto and Baltimore. Total request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your request. Applause board text on at 410-583-1057. Get your votes in. Featured artist Friday. That reveal coming up at 45, 50 minutes or so. But let's talk about the start of the season. It's American League East rivals. He's with Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Talking about Toronto, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the program, Jeff Blair. Jeff, good afternoon and a happy new year for us baseball fans for sure.
I was going to say happy new year and yes, good afternoon.
All right, I know you guys and certainly the Blue Jays would like to wash away or flush, is I guess the new modern term, what happened in 2024, trendy pick to win the division, get to the World Series, blah, blah, blah. They finished last. So what happened? Ultimately, what doomed the 2024 Blue Jays? And what has happened in the offseason to hopefully prevent that from happening again?
Well, I mean, the biggest issue for the Blue Jays last year, it was twofold. One, they stopped hitting home runs. And, you know, a lot of that came from the fact that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. essentially took the first half off. And, you know, Bo Bichette was hurt as well. So while you don't necessarily look at Bo Bichette for home runs, there's a trickle-down effect there. But in reality, if you had to pinpoint one particular thing, it was the fact that for reasons I have not been able to unearth, and quite frankly, I've given up unearthing, trying to unearth them, the Jays went about 6 weeks last year without a closer. Jimmy Garcia was hurt. Jordan Romano was hurt. It's strange. This is an organization that in the past has moved very quickly whenever it's had bullpen issues. Ross Atkins hasn't done a lot right, but what he has done in the past is being bold when it comes to addressing bullpen issues in season. For whatever reason, they didn't do that last year. And, I mean, essentially, they left the manager and the pitching staff out to dry for about 6 weeks of the season. And that really, you know, injuries aside, slumps aside, lack of home runs, et cetera, bottom line is the Jays' bullpen went from being one of the most effective in baseball to one of the worst on every statistical measure.
Now, you look at this year's team, Max Scherzer was brought in, Hall of Fame resume for sure. how much gas is left in that tank, Jeff, as he joins Barrios pitching today. Bassitt, who had a down year. Gausman had a great spring, but, you know, a shaky 2024. Where's the Scherzer factor going to impact this team? And hopefully for you, Blue Jays, the American League East.
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to tell. He was great this spring when he pitched. I mean, he dominated hitters, major league hitters, minor league hitters. He was up to 95 on a couple of occasions, got to 96. The problem with Max is he has this thumb issue that nobody seems to be able to get a handle on, certainly not Max. And essentially, as far as, you know, we know from what Max is telling us, it's a nerve issue that somehow begins with an irritation in the thumb. And the problem isn't so much when he's pitching. It's the day after or sometimes 2 days after. So it obviously it affects his downtime, which trickle-down effect affects his ability to make his next start. They don't know what's causing it. Max will, the other day, was talking about, said, look, I just don't have a handle on it. You know, he said, few things in my career have perplexed me as much as this. So I think right now the feeling is when he's healthy, he's really good. But I think the Jays have also come to the conclusion that, especially early in the year, there may be times where he has to, if not necessarily skip a start, then maybe move back a day or so. So long answer, I don't think they look at Max Scherzer right now as being, and I'm going to use air quotes here, anything other than their number three starter. If they're going to go anywhere this year, it's going to be the guy starting today, Jose Barrios. And more importantly, I think in my mind, Kevin Gausman. Those are going to be the two guys that carry the freight. And if Max can stay healthy and, you know, maybe only miss a couple of starts and maintain the thumb, then he'll be able to contribute. But I think if you push the Blue Jays officials up against the wall, they would say that, you know, they're hoping for the best with Max. They're not necessarily counting on it.
Jeff Blair, Sportsnet 590, The Fan in Toronto, talking about the Blue Jays Orioles open the season. It's 3:07 first pitch, right?
3:37.
Yes. 3:37?
Texted me, yeah.
It's 3:37.
3:37. Oh, yeah, of course.
All right, whatever.
Anthems and all that.
Yeah. We got to do
remember
the
old days? The old days where it started at like 7?
Yeah, just get behind a plate and catch the ball and let's get rolling here. Anyway, John Schneider, it's fair to say he's on the hot seat, the skipper of the team. And, you know, on that note, if he's on the hot seat, what's the cutoff point for the Blue Jays in regards to, I know they want to re-sign Vlad Jr. They're making offers as we speak, Bichette and the rest. When are they, you know, give him the old heave-ho and then, by extension, start cleaning ass a little bit?
Yeah, it's a weird situation because it starts with Mark Shapiro, the club president, who is in his last year and is sounding very much like a guy who has a new contract in his hip pocket. I mean, the other day he was talking about, you know, a possible All-Star game down the road for Toronto and sort of the next phase of renovations of the ballpark. So it sounded to me very much like a guy who thinks he's going to be around. But there's been nothing official on that yet. And, you know, obviously that I think will have an effect on Ross Atkins' stature as general manager. I think maybe, you know, if this season goes really pear-shaped, then I think all bets are off. If the Jays miss the playoffs but are okay, you know, if Mark stays here, I can see maybe Ross Atkins being reassigned within the organization. They really like John Schneider. I mean, there's a lot of trust in John Schneider. He's very much, and I think you'll understand what I say, he's very much the type of modern manager front offices like, both good and bad, right? But he's the type of manager front offices like, not going to rock the boat, got some of his own ideas, but at the end of the day is basically going to acquiesce, you know, to what the front office wants.
Now, Jeff, how do you see the East playing out? Because I like Toronto to make the playoffs.
At the start of the year, I kept looking at the New York Yankees and just basically I thought, you know what, there's going to be such a gap between the Yankees and the Red Sox and everybody else. And then, of course, the injuries hit the Yankees. Listen, I it's weird. I thought the Orioles would do more with their starting pitching. I find that that absolutely mind-boggling. I look at that lineup, I look at that window of opportunity, and I understand what Mike Elias is doing, but my God, at some point, man, you got to push your chips in the middle. And this is a year where the Yankees are hurt. You know, the Jays have got a lot of issues with Vladdy. Tampa Bay's playing at a minor league ballpark, which is another issue. I honestly think every team in this division, except the Boston Red Sox, could finish second or last. I think the Red Sox win this going away, and then after that, it's, you know, pick them. And two of them could make the postseason. One of the remaining teams could make the postseason. But I think 2-3-4, two, three, four after the Red Sox, throw them in a hat.
By the way, Kyle Gibson says hello, the Orioles free agent pitcher acquisition there. Jeff Blair, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Jeff, appreciate the time. Good luck to the Blue Jays, except for this weekend, and of course when they come to Oriole Park at Camden Yards, and we'll talk to you throughout the year.
You too, guys. Be well.
There's Jeff Blair, everyone, and we did get in a boot. Definitely got that Canada thing going on. Rockabaco tweeting out Gunnar Henderson is going to be a rehabber with Norfolk. So maybe he'll be back sooner than later.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
NFL Lunch here on this Total Request Thursday. Vinny broke down Derek Harmon last hour, defensive tackle out of Oregon. Matt Miller's latest mock draft, which is today, and he did every pick, God bless him, has Derek Harmon going to the Ravens at 27.
Really? I don't see a D tackle going there. I think, you know, is Starks gone yet? The safety out of Georgia, is he gone? Because I think that would be number one for them. I think safety would be higher ranked on the board than the defensive lineman.
Now, Charles Davis, getting back to him, has the Ravens taking Shamar Stewart with the 27th pick.
Were you here when I read that one?
No, I was not.
Well,
apparently it was not a flattering profile.
Well, I mean, he's the one that was...
He's got Starks going 24 to Minnesota.
Okay.
Charles does.
Stewart, Bob, was the one that blew away the combine. I mean, he did... He was so good at the combine that, I mean, he had height, weight, speed. I mean, everybody was talking about him after the combine. Oh, you know, he's moving up. Yeah, he was, Bob, he was 6'5", 267, ran 4.59. 40-inch vertical jump, 10-11 broad jump, 34 and an eighth arms. And had 1.5 sacks, Bob. With all that, yeah.
Sound familiar?
Yeah, well, in summary, I said, this kid's athletic numbers are off the charts, but don't see it with tape and his production. I'm not so sure he has natural instincts to become great. He misses a lot of tackles, doesn't finish. This is a big gamble pick. Boom or bust. And Mel told me somebody's going to think that, you know, they see this guy and that they can mold him, they can make something great out of him, you know. So we'll see. I mean, that he would scare me to death, especially if you're picking early. Oh, I mean, that would like an old Trent Baalke Jacksonville type pick.
Now, number one pick in the draft is Tennessee, unless they trade it. And apparently, if you blow them away with an offer, they'd be willing to listen. But they're going to take Cam Ward.
Yes.
Adam Schefter from ESPN believes that Penn State edge Abdul Carter is, air quotes, the likely pick at 2. So what does that mean for the Giants at 3? with a lot of, I mean, Russell Wilson thinks he's going to be the starter. We all know that. But, you know, Cleveland, they're not taking Sanders, are they?
I don't think so.
Giants have two veteran quarterbacks they just brought in. Does that prevent a Sanders thing? Where does Travis Hunter fit in?
Well,
I mean, you said Carter and Hunter are the two best players in the draft.
Yeah, they are. And it's not close, Bob. The thing about it is, all right, if you're the Giants and your owner has said, we have got to win. You know, if you go take Shedeur Sanders at three, you know, and I'm Brian Daboll, and I'm saying, all right, I got to win nine games. And I'm going to do that with a rookie. Shedeur Sanders will be playing for the next coach. That you know, so I might as well. I think they'll take Travis Hunter at three. And I think, you know, and they got Malik Nabers, so he can play some receiver, some DB. And they got to start building. Because if you're the Giants, and if I'm ownership, I'm looking at it as, you know, this draft and next draft. Because I'm probably going to be crappy. And, all right, if I'm picking early, what's the quarterback situation look like next? Where's, you know, I got to look at it a two-year window. Do I have a better chance of getting a quarterback this year or next year? So what it kind of looks like what they've done right now, Bob, is get two veteran guys to get me to next year, you know, through this season, and give me a chance to maybe get Manning or whoever else, you know, is that quarterback next year. Now, you were mentioning Cleveland. Now, that's a scary deal, man. You got Myles Garrett and Abdul Carter. You got two elite rushers, two guys that could get double-digit sacks. You know, and I think you were saying yesterday, you know, about, you know, or somebody was saying, Garrett, you know, he's got to play on this side. Doesn't matter, you know, because wherever he goes, he's going to get doubled. And then, you know what, on the other side? That's fine. Abdul Carter can beat anybody on that side, too. So, so it's not like Clowney where, you know, he got pissed because I always got to get the good. Abdul Carter doesn't matter. I mean, he's going to blow past you. So that would be, you know, that would be very good. Schwartz, he would love having Schwartz. Those two dudes. Yeah.
Now, the Giants, getting back to them, they're not a quarterback away from winning a Super Bowl.
Absolutely not.
Browns were in the playoffs 2 years ago, and they're not going to, we just talked about it, not taking a quarterback at two, but if they can swing a Cousins,
yeah, that's what I mean,
does that make them more formidable here? Because Ford looks like he could be an asset running the football, because yeah, Chubb, yeah. You know, but are they a Kirk Cousins playing at a good level away from maybe challenging Pittsburgh and Cincy for second in the division? Because I think we all agree the Ravens are going to be the team to beat here.
Well, I think, you know, because what we've heard about Kirk Cousins, Bob, is he's not waving that no trade clause till after the draft, because he's not going to go through another Atlanta situation. Can you imagine, like, now he got traded to Cleveland and they take Shedeur Sanders at two and he's like, here I go again. But I could see where Cleveland takes Abdul Carter and then, you know, they're going to get Cousins after the draft because Stefanski and he have a relationship back at Minnesota. And I think that would be a good situation for the Browns. And I think I think if they got Carter and they got Cousins, I think they could be back in that hunt.
10-7-ish.
I think they could be, and depending on how they do, Bob, in second, third, fourth round picks, but I think they could come back fairly quick. And then, you know what? Then Myles Garrett's like, damn, I'm glad I stayed.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk football, talk baseball, the start of the MLB season of 2025 with Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. Get his thoughts on maybe Kevin Willard here in Maryland, all the way across. Actually, they're in California as we speak. So we'll talk to Mike, everything on his mind. He'll share it with us here on The Fan. Then a funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access takes over too later on tonight. Sweet 16 basketball. Terps taking on Florida. Coverage starts at 6:30. Maryland wins tonight. They're going to the Elite Eight Saturday. Opponent to be determined. If they lose, I'm guessing we'll be talking about him going to Villanova by early next week. But a week from today, maybe talking about, or with, who knows, Maryland's new basketball coach. But either way, here to talk about all of that and more, it's Vinny and Haney. Total Request Thursday, Featured Artist Friday. Get your votes last time. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. It's Fox Sports Radio. Very excited, of course, about the start of baseball because this White Sox, well, let's just say you have to turn the standings upside down to get them in first place. But he's Mike Harmon. I didn't mean to dig right out of the gate, and we haven't even thrown a pitch yet, Mike Harmon. So sorry about that.
Be careful. You'll get some high heat. I got a little Bob Gibson in me. I don't have a lot of throws, but I got one or two that I think I could pop off before it's done. Yeah, the over-under at least got over 50, though, guys.
Yeah.
when it first happened, it was 49.5. So, you know, at least a little positivity.
Well, you're starting pitchers from the University of Maryland, so that's always a positive. They've been in the news all week long. Hey, before we get to them, the baseball landscape, and we've been talking all week long, American League in particular, do we see a 100-win team, a mid-90s win team? Seems to be real balanced in the East, the Central, and what, throw a dart in the West? What are we thinking about the American League, Mike, as the season begins today?
I think that's just it. It's a lot of dart throwing and a lot of wishing and hoping, and I think that makes it exciting because the other side of the bracket, you know, where we reside here, I mean, we got the good and the bad. Isn't it funny that the baseball gods gave us the White Sox and Angels for the opening series? I just laugh at that. But I think Mike Trout's healthy enough to play, right? Anyway, so the idea of the American League, right? We've already seen so many injuries with the Yankees. You guys have gone through a bunch there. Red Sox are interesting. Just a lot of curiosity of how it all meshes and whether Bregman and Devers eventually get into a fight over the third base position. I think they should do it like the Joker in what he's got his aggressive expansion in The Dark Knight. Bust open the pool view and just say, all right, make it. But all of that to say, you know, you've got a full division of competitiveness there, right? Because the Rays are just good enough to be a pain in the ass. So all of that is a mess. In the Central is, well, not good. And the West, people waiting for keep waiting on the Mariners because Julio Rodriguez can't possibly replicate the first 4 months of last year, can he? Because if he does, then they're sunk. But if he's half the player he was in 2023, then suddenly we're looking at a competitive squad and you like the pitching staff there. So it's fun to at least have one side of it where we're going to have a lot of intrigue. National League side, some good teams, but barring, you know, the acts of the baseball gods, lowercase g, of course, how do you catch the Dodgers?
All right, let's get to March Madness. The men in particular, Terps tonight, they're taking on Florida. That game has almost become secondary. Queens buzzer beater, Derek Queen, represent Baltimore, great. LeBron James was even on that bandwagon, but it looks like Kevin Willard's gonzo, win or lose tonight. We talk about the coaches leaving, and this has been an ongoing thing in college athletics. Like, coaches can leave whenever they want. The old rules, if a student-athlete wanted to leave, they had to either redshirt a year and petition to get out of their letters of intent. Now, these players are tapping out at halftime of their games. You know what I mean? So as Willard did the power play, which eventually he's going to win with Villanova. How does all of this now distract from what has been the brilliance and beauty of March Madness, brackets aside?
Yeah, that's the hard part of it, right? You know, hell comes to Frogtown in that, you know, all of the movement that we've always had for coaches now being widely applied. And I think that's the sounding, you know, scream of the million voices that you hear is, you know, stop the insanity. The old Susan Powder, remember the woman with the shaved head that was screaming at you in the middle of the night? Showing my age once again.
Yeah, right after Cy Sperling at the Hair Club for Men.
No, nicely done. And right before Ronco sold you a thing to make a chicken. Or the pocket fisherman, for that matter. But all of that to say, there's never been any guardrails on this. I found it interesting, a talking point that I've certainly latched on to this week is just how we suddenly romanticize Pitino and Calipari, the guys that were the scourge of the basketball world and things that they're everything wrong, right? The one and dones, the allegations, the forfeited titles, all of these things. Now they're the guys that are celebrated. Why? Because it's their world. Because we finally caught up to all the stuff alleged, some proven, that these guys were doing all along. So, you know, we take the familiar and we kind of given it the deification to a degree in this process. And so now it's tough. I find it hard to hear too much of the lamentation about the players. Like, all right, you got 16 teams affected. Everybody else is in the offseason. And even on those 16 teams, you don't think there's a bunch of guys that have already informed their coaches or have been informed by their coaches that they're either getting replaced or they're leaving, right? It's just now it's more out in the open, and we don't have to have the clandestine affairs of yesteryear. So the business of business, the sanctity of collegiate athletics was long gone. I think now we're all just it's punching us in the face routinely.
Mike, you were talking about age a couple of minutes ago, and you know what's pretty cool is like all these coaches, basketball coaches that are still in, you know, the Sweet 16 that are over 65 years old.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great stories about it. Since the last couple of years, a lot of the hand-wringing was, think of the children, think of what the good old days were, and guys bailing because now the job was going to be hard. Right, because players had some agency, players could move more freely. Because I think some of the coaches, if they were really looking at it, and something the three of us have discussed quite a bit, is there's also a lot of opportunity. Yeah, there's some extra hiccups, and you got to add some layers of administration, and I know that's one of the big fights Kevin Willard's been having there, you know, where you got to have folks helping facilitate and being the money people and handling boosters and whatever else. That's why you're getting more and more of these GM roles added in. But to have these older coaches, you know, and even if Tom Izzo is still screaming, get off my lawn, he's certainly figuring out how to make it work, you know, part of it on the back of, one, you know, the son of one of his old heroes and Jason Richardson's kid. Jason Richardson actually had some great comments about a lot of this stuff as well. You know, just how the different changing landscape and adapting to it. But yeah, the older coaches, that's what we identify with. Why? Because I looked at some basketball cards I bought 3 months ago, guys. They're college because of the new way things can be done, right? The guys are in their collegiate uniforms. Half the guys aren't with the teams that they're pictured with.
Yeah, you mentioned the uniform change real quick, Mike, because I know you got to do your 40,000th mock draft, and we're not even at draft. We're not even in April yet. Remember the movie Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell and Andre 3000 and Woody Harrelson when he left in the middle of the Mega Bowl? He was with the Spurs, and when he came out for the second half, he was playing for the Tropics. It's almost like that in college basketball. Maybe Jacoby Gillespie will be wearing a Florida jersey for the second half of the game tonight. How's that sound?
Caught black, baby. Let's go.
Invented the alley-oop that day, by the way.
Yeah, does Hunter Dickinson have any eligibility left? He can show up at too. But yeah, it's just bad. Guys are going three, four schools, and I don't begrudge it, but it's one of those things that it's a new normal that we're still trying to get used to, right? Especially if you're going to stick around to be a grad assistant and try to play and whatever. It's just going to be curious to see how many mid-majors, because we had that great quote from the Norfolk State. He goes, we're just a glorified JUCO, like a holding cell. It's like, oh, wait, you're listening to, I'm a guy that roots for the White Sox. We talk a lot about the Pirates. Isn't that been in baseball? Haven't we had that in football with bad teams? Hey, eventually you can go and be joined the juggernaut. We see it all the time. So, you know, again, you know, college buckets just on a more rapid pace.
Hey, as long as my team wins, I don't give a bleep. He's Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio. Mike, enjoy the start of baseball. Enjoy the tournament this weekend. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Hey, I'm hoping Maryland continues on because, A, it'll make me look good in the brackets. B, it'll mean Willard's still in front of a microphone.
Yeah, and that's been a good thing for him so far. All right, Mike, have a great weekend. We'll come back, reset for you. Fun house trip, inside access, and then Terps of Florida coming up later. Toronto, Bichette's at short, Guerrero's at first, Santander's in left, Jimenez at second, Kirk behind the plate, Springer's at center, Wagner the DH, Clement's at third, Roden is in right field in support of Jose Barrios. So the Battle of the Birds coming up here in about an hour and a half above the border there. Terps tonight taking on Florida. Coverage starts at 6:30. I said, Nolan, when we filled out our brackets with Jimmy Patsos, I had Maryland losing here. I'm sticking with it. I want them to win as much as anyone in the listening audience. because, you know, if they haven't been in the Elite Eight in 23 years, that would be great for you. Certainly haven't been in the Final Four in that amount of time as well. But, yeah, keep the Willard drama rolling, man.
Bob, Terps win, the score is going to be, like, high scoring if the Terps win?
83-79-ish. If they win the rebound battle, Maryland's going to win the game. How about that?
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it comes down to free throws, you got to like Maryland. Yeah. Terps don't turn it over much, so we shall see. Offensive, because Colorado State got a ton of offensive boards, but really didn't make them pay. I guess Florida will. Mm-hmm. So tighten up on the glass there.
Now, if it is a free throw game, that means it's a very tight game in the end. Yeah. And besides last time out against Colorado State, Maryland has not been particularly fantastic in tight games or tied games in late situations. So, I don't know. I would much rather just put it away early.
Yeah, memo to Terps and Ravens. Blowouts aren't bad.
Yeah.
Blowouts are good. I mean, Florida, 32 wins, 25 of them, I believe, are by 10 points or more. So that would help as well. Anything else, Nolan, you want to say to the people out there?
No, Ryan Mountcastle is going yard today. I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
Nice.
Well, if him and Adley go deep, guess who wins $237?
Is that you?
That would be me.
How much do I get?
Nolan McGraw. Well, I'll give you the 7, even out to 230. All right, Funhouse.
Quick draws, Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Well, speaking of Adley Rutschman, texter here noting the Cal Raleigh extension from Seattle earlier this week. How much bigger would a Rutschman extension look compared to Raleigh or other catchers in general? Is he even in the same ballpark?
Well, if he plays like he did in 23 and for the first half of 24, he's better than Cal Raleigh, with all due respect. Hopefully David Rubenstein's going to open that checkbook, because Gunner's not going to come cheap. We'll see what other extensions could be on the horizon. But we've said all along, it's either Holiday, Rutschman, preferably Gunner, and maybe Holiday. Hopefully that'll be a great dilemma to have. But you got to start writing these big paychecks. No more coming in second like Toronto. Be aggressive.
This one here from Steve in Baltimore says, I'm sure at some point Kobe Mayo will be in the show this season. Is there any chance Basayo and or Bradfield can make an appearance as well?
I think Bradfield might be more of a September call-up or an injury-related issue. Can he hit AAA this year? I think Basayo's the absolute lock to swing a bat for the Orioles this year in some capacity.
Larry in Kent Island says, just curious your thoughts on how little is being made out of Florida having the long flight out west this week after so much was said about Maryland's lengthy travel a week ago.
They've been there, what, 3 days?
Yeah. It's.
I think they're acclimated.
Yeah.
And at this stage, they're young kids, man. They're strapping young men. I don't think any of this will bother them. I mean, Maryland's been blowing them out of the news cycle because everything going on with Willard and Queen on national TV. I wouldn't be surprised that they might be running hot, that they're not getting the attention that the number one seed should deserve. So I don't think it's a big deal.
And one last one here on Maryland. Texter says, none of this drama matters today or tonight. It's all about the paid players winning games they are paid to win. The Terps shelled out the money. Enjoyed the segment on Willard. Let's go get a win tonight.
No doubt. And St. John, even Petito was crying about the guys he paid not playing up to their paychecks. Here they are. Rick Petito, you know what he's doing tonight? He's watching Maryland, Florida at 7:39 on True or TBS. That's it for us. We're back tomorrow. We'll talk to you when we talk to you with Beastie Boys. Hopefully talking about the Orioles starting the season with a win. It's certainly Maryland getting to the Elite Eight for the first time in 23 years. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Inside Access coming up next here on The Fan.